Good morning. Welcome to our service of worship today. I know that we've already begun worshiping as we traveled from our homes and places and got to witness God's beautiful creation this morning. Is today not one of the most glorious days you've ever seen? It is. It is. And we are thankful that you're here and we are here together. Today, as we come before God in prayer, before we do that, I just want to thank everyone who put in so many hours of hard work for making the craft and bake sale a success yesterday. I was working at the library, but I was able to pop down a lot of times, and I saw Tom and Arlie and everybody, and it was just a wild, wild time. Carol, everybody was down there. BJ, it was, I spent money before the craft fair even opened, and what a wonderful presence you are in this community also. So thank you so much to the Women's Association and all those who had a part in making that possible. Today, as we come before God, let us quiet our minds and focus our hearts and listen to what God will reveal to us today. I invite you to join me in our call to worship inspired by Psalm 121. As the sun sets behind the hills, even as the sun strikes the earth in daytime,
we celebrate peace in our Creator.
As we move about this earth from day to day,
we celebrate the love of our Creator.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing together our opening hymn. Let us pray. God of all, we often feel deserted by divine justice and peace. Our burdens seem more than we can bear. We would rather be silent in places of comfort instead of shining your light in our pain-present reality. Open our souls to your healing. Embolden us to be persistent in our quest to do justice and love kindness. May we follow your light when the shadows attempt to swallow our resolve. Amen. Our souls continue to open to the healing and hope of God. May we embrace the glow of God's grace as we seek ways to care for all of God's beloved. Amen. Say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace and love. Peace be with you.
Much love, y'all.
Brothers and sisters, I don't have any prayer concerns written here this morning, though I do call your attention on the back of the bulletin. There are always names each Lord's Day. We remember those who are not here or who need special prayers in some way. So when we have our silent moment, choose a name or two and pray for them today. And then when you go home, write a card. Find out their address and say, "I prayed for you in church today. Just, I'm remembering you." You'd be amazed what a blessing that would be. So let us gather our hearts and our lives as one as we pray. Oh God, we remember a hymn whose refrain says to us, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." Thank you, O gracious God, that you so hold us in your care and so direct us by your Spirit, that every sorrow shall be healed, that your great blessing to bring the world into newness and new life cannot fail because of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And so we take in our hearts and minds through this and every day your promise. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Oh God, as your church, we gather to give you thanks that you give life and light to your world. We rejoice together in the wonder and in the fullness of your creation. We delight in the gifts of nature and the beauty of an autumn day. We remember today, as our table is full, that there are many whose cupboards are bare or who no longer have a cupboard. We pray for every family on earth, of the earth, who are looking for the next meal. For parents skipping meals so their children can eat. And we pray for all those who are facing isolation and desperation. Bless your world with new beginnings. Bless the world with new commitments and compassion. Call us out of our small world into that great, large, and magnificent world where your kingdom is at work. Loving God, we pray for those close and near to us who are unwell, who are in pain, who are longing to live full lives. We pray for those who are sad and hurt, longing for comfort. We pray for those in hospitals or nursing homes or other places awaiting treatment. In this moment of silence now, we bring from our hearts to you those that we know and love who need your strength. Gracious God, as we worship today, place your guiding hand upon every life. Bless this little church here in the valley. And though we may be small in number, may we be great and large and magnificent in love for one another and in love and service to our community. And so wherever we are and whatever need we bring, whatever hard task is before us, whatever big decision awaits us, whatever difficult time challenges us, may our hearts be yours. May our lives be yours. Knowing that you take what we are and who we are and where we are, and bring forth your miracles, your strength. And we sing again, we pray again, we worship again, we rejoice again. Because in your great love you have made us new and strong once again. Hear our prayers spoken, felt, and we bring them in the knowledge that you are praying in us even now to make our prayers, our fumbling words, our inadequate words, a perfect prayer. So we bring you ourselves, we bring you our prayers and all that we are. And we remember that Jesus then taught those who follow him to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing together our hymn of meditation.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and at this time our ushers will come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Scripture reading is Luke 18, 1 to 8, out of the Message. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?'" This is the word of God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Usually in church, I know your cell phones are all tucked away and turned off. Maybe you don't even bring your cell phone to church anymore because you know there's a lot here to occupy your time and attention. But think about your cell phone for just a second, and think about the way that you enter contacts in your cell phone, your contact list. Apparently, according to a recent essay in a Canadian magazine called Vice, there's a lot that can be learned about how somebody stores a contact. Some people, traditionally, these are engineers, they are very meticulous about the way they have their information. Their contacts include both the first and last name, emails, home addresses, maybe even the place of work, regardless of how close the relationship is. For example, one woman named Jennifer Wortman, she shared that her husband, an engineer, a very meticulous man, noticed that she is listed in his cell phone simply as Jennifer Wortman. That's all right. Now, other folks use first and last names for everybody but the people very close to them. Mom and Dad, Gran and Papa. And some people update the names as the relationships change. One woman shared that on her first day of her new job, her boss sent her a screen recording as he was editing her contact information on his phone. And it was originally saved as Raya, potential candidate. And then the video showed him backspacing and changing it to Raya from work. And she said that that made her really feel like she belonged. And another woman said that now her husband's name is listed as Honey, but the first time she put it in, it just said the cute guy on the third floor. Now, if you do descriptions or nicknames, just make sure that you don't have anybody named the really annoying guy or the obnoxious neighbor, and they get a hold of your phone, because that can be very embarrassing. And I think about the people in today's story. And if the judge had put the widow in his cell phone, I mean, let's think about it. This widow in this story, she's crying out to him day and night. He doesn't like people anyway. She's crying out to him so much that he's just going to give up to her because, and the Greek I read is very close to saying that she's going to beat him black and blue with her hounding for justice. I bet if he put her name in a cell phone, it would just say, "Do not answer." And he'd probably block it just to make sure. And if anybody had the judge's name, it would just say Rotten Judge. You see, Jesus is showing a sense of humor in this parable because the characters are over the top. And we can imagine people laughing when we heard this story. It's still, it's a puzzling parable. I don't know, even as Janet was reading it, I've read it many times in my life, and I've read it many, many times this week. There are just some things in it that just make you say, But the first thing I think we can establish is that this isn't one of those where we can identify the judge or the ruler as God. Yeah, it says right off pretty plainly, God is not the cranky, unjust judge in this story. Now, this judge, as cranky as he is, he's very self-aware. You know, he says, I thumb my nose at God, I care less about people. He knows he's not a nice guy, but in contrast, our God loves each one of us. Yes, so the judge is not a God figure. That's easy. But what else is here? Luke, the author, anyway, gives some thought to what they believe this parable is about, why Jesus told it. It says very plainly, this story was told to remind people and encourage to pray without ceasing. To pray and pray, and God will answer your prayer. That's how you should do it. And certainly, yes, prayer is an essential part of our lives. Because it's through prayer that we grow in relationship with God, we share, we listen, and God wants to hear all that is on our hearts. And this story in particular is a story about justice. The widow wants justice and won't stop until God gives it to her. And Luke and Jesus, they seem to be saying, listen, if you keep praying, even this judge who didn't do it for the right reasons gave it. And the story says, surely God is not going to drag God's feet. You are going to get peace. God, who loves you, is going to give you justice, of course. Jesus has always said God will take down the powerful and lift up the lowly and free the prisoners. Just keep asking, keep praying. There will be no delay. But does that raise any eyebrows for you? It raised my eyebrows. I look at history, I look at the world today, and in some places the reach of the cruel and the mighty seems even greater. Not only have so many been in chains for ages, but now it seems that even more are being stripped of their rights in every corner of the world. And people are getting together and assembling, and Christians and Jews and Muslims and people of all faiths and no faith, they're crying out across the world. They're saying no more. They're saying help us. And I wonder, reading this parable, I want to say, God, I thought you were going to step in here. If you are, I mean, I'm not God, but now seems like a good time. There must be something else to this parable here, to this story, other than act like the persistent widow, keep bothering God, and God will give you what you need. And it was actually when I was looking through my contacts this week that I thought I used some creative imagination. What else can we glean from this story? Maybe, take a look, there's a cell phone contact I have stored in my cell phone. And you can see that I've named this person Nagging. Now this was my mom and dad's number. And my mom and dad knew that that it was in there. And they laughed, and they got a little affronted at first. And then they pulled out the sentence that maybe you pulled out with your kids, or maybe you've had pulled out on you. We only nag because we love you. You ever said that? You heard that? Right? And I thought maybe in this story, another way we can look at God and the message is maybe God is the persistent widow. Nagging, because God loves us. Nagging for justice and for love and for God's dream to come true. Are we the unjust judge? I know I can be an unjust judge. And we know that God only wants what's best for all people. And so it makes sense then that God is the one persisting and nagging and saying, hey, all people have the right to have their humanity recognized. All people are going to flourish and be free. And if you think God's not a nag, I mean, there's a lot of stories of God nagging in our scripture. Take the fable of Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, they thought they had all the knowledge they needed now, right? They even tried to hide when they heard God coming. But, hey, what's up, you two? You can't hide from me. And God nagged Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, God, who, me, what? I stutter, I can't go? No. And God says, yes, you go. And the story of Jonah. Jonah doesn't want to go. Jonah doesn't want to do what God says, and he ends up in the belly of a whale. And I know that God nags me every Sunday to do something about justice in our world. I know it. Because I'm sure I've mentioned before that every Sunday when I leave here, the North Hills, and I go through the tunnel, there is always a man and his dog who live under an overpass asking for help. And on the other side, there is always a woman who lives under the bridge asking for help. And that's God nagging me. Reminding me that in a just world, in the world of God's dream, and God's dream is going to come true, in God's plan, no one is going to be begging, look at me, help me. God nags me all the time when I open my email box, and there's the Presbyterian Church is very good about this, and the Episcopal Church as well. They're always sending emails asking me to join in their holy nagging. Call my representative in Congress. Help bring about God's plan for the world. Every person who puts a sign in their yard that says something like, love all your neighbors, no exceptions. Love is love. They're acting as God's messengers, God's nags to me. And I have to say, on a more personal level, there's this guy who lives in my building. And his tongue is sharp. He is just not. He is not a fun guy, you know. He's definitely a glasses completely empty kind of guy. And he sees the world completely differently to the way that I see it. And he always seems to be coming out of the building when I'm going in. And he always wants to chat. And I really want to pick up my cell phone and pretend that I'm on a call. And I've done that once or twice. But that's God nagging at me. Pestering me to say, wait a minute here. I know. I need to listen. I need to hear what this man has to say, because this man is a child of God and precious and beloved. And maybe this is an opportunity for me to show my love, and we can both recognize that we are siblings, because we have the one same creator. So maybe all of us, we just need to give up on the faulty beliefs that some are essentially better than others, that some people are less human, and that some people are beyond redemption. Because really, God has reminded us, we can see all throughout history, no situation, no person is beyond redemption, because that's God's plan. God's plan that we'll all be free to live to the fullest of our God-given humanity. It's going to come true no matter what. Maybe God is saying, give up, let my love win. Look, in all times and places, where is the Nazi Party now? Where is legal slavery in Europe and the United States? Where is apartheid in South Africa? Gandhi said, when I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible. But in the end, they will always fall. Always. That's God nagging through Gandhi. God's persistence, love's persistence. And it's working, and it needs to work on us, because the only way it's going to happen really is when we, God's hands and feet in the world, give up on all the garbage, on the callousness, the greed, the hatred, when we embrace our full humanity, because we are made to be loving. When we say, okay, you win. I will see others, and I will see myself as precious in your sight. And I will not be afraid to stand up and proclaim that truth. You win, God. And may we all let God win, because love's going to win anyway. And may it be so in our time. Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing together, may the God of hope go with us. I'm telling you, Mickey, how do you pick these songs? I mean, it's amazing. It must be one of those God things. Hymn number 765.
message from PJ. There are actually cookies that are left over from yesterday, and they are in the library for anyone who wanted them. And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love and all those whom no one loves, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity.